Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. This is not Scott Spears. This is Matt Morgan filling in for Scott Spears for the first 15 minutes. I have an interview with the 2024 presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, Chase Oliver. We're going to be discussing the State of the Union from last night. Chase, how you doing today?
Hello?
Chase, how you doing today?
Hold on one second. You went dead for a second.
Oh.
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right.
Cool. How you doing today, Scott?
How are things?
Pretty good. If you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and fill us in on what your campaign's been up to.
I actually cannot hear you. You sound like you're like 100 miles away in a tunnel.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hello?
Let me try calling you back.
Okay.
Little technical difficulty there. That happens from time to time. We'll work it out.
Well, that's good.
You know, maybe his phone is not working. Did you turn your microphone off? The switch on the side there?
No.
Nope, you're up. Okay, say something now.
Yeah,
that's about right. Okay, here we go.
I can hear you now. Oh my goodness. I'm going to blame that on Samsung on my phone.
Alrighty, so, Chase, how you doing today? If you don't mind, would you be able to recap what your campaign's been up to since we last spoke?
I heard you at the beginning there, and then you cut out again.
Oh, can you hear me? We're gonna switch mics real fast.
Maybe.
I hear something.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Oh my goodness.
All
there
right.
We go. I can totally hear you now.
All right. So I'm not sure what's up with that, but how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Apologies to the listeners that had to hear me fumbling through that, but I'm doing fantastic. I'm sitting here right now in a hotel room in Elmhurst, Illinois, traveling across the country speaking the message of liberty, and I'm so honored to be able to speak to your listeners today.
You know, that's incredible. So did you, I take it you did manage to watch the State of the Union last night?
I did, and I live-tweeted it, too. So if anybody wants to kind of see my live commentary as it was going on, they can go to Chase for Liberty on X. And, yeah, I was tweeting right along as I was watching Biden.
Tweeting along?
Yeah, well, I still say tweeting. I don't, you know, whatever. I guess that's posting. I was live posting.
Yes.
That's what we use now.
So... You know, just to, I guess, get started here, right off the rip, he went into Donald Trump a little bit by saying, like, right off the bat, first thing he said almost was that the freedom of democracy was under attack.
Yeah, you know, I see this attack coming from Democrats, and it always just kind of makes me chuckle a little bit, because, you know, if democracy is under attack, then why do Democrats try to pass ballot access laws to prevent libertarians and other third parties from getting on the ballot? Why does the Democratic Party, led by Joe Biden, refuse to debate? In 2020, he refused to debate the libertarian candidate on stage. I believe if you want to support democracy, you should support more choices in the process, and fixing our democracy with things like ranked choice voting or approval voting, so we remove the so-called spoiler effect. But they're just fine continuing to have elections be spoiled if it maintains power for them. And so when I hear Joe Biden saying he wants to defend democracy, I say when, because the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have been doing everything they can to prevent new voices and new parties and new people from rising up to challenge their party.
Well, I mean, as far as Donald Trump goes, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, was quoted in one of our local newspapers, the Marion Star, from actually one of the shows on here, Now with Scott Spears, saying that she was asked if Donald Trump was reelected, if he would be a dictator, and she responded with, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think basically, you know, what we're seeing right now from the two-party system is in one way or another, government is trying to dictate your life and control your life. And, I mean, let's be real. Every president since, you know, in my adult life has gone to war, you know, with an undeclared war that hasn't been declared by Congress. That, to me, is a dictatorial act. The fact that the executive branch has continued to take more and more power from itself and let the legislative branch just kind of be lazy, not pass budgets, pass continuing resolutions, not really offering any kind of challenge or check or balance to the executive in any real meaningful way. This has allowed the executive branch of our country to become more and more dictatorial. And I don't see that reversing course with Donald Trump, certainly. And I frankly don't see it reversing course with Joe Biden, because he hasn't done anything to relinquish executive power. In fact, he's passed a whole lot of executive orders, and he's done everything he can to work around Congress as opposed to working with them in a lot of cases. And that's just a sign of further centralized power, and that's what we need to avoid. And as a libertarian, I would actually say, if I were elected, the power of the president would be less the day that I leave office than the day that I walked in, because I would get the office of the president back to its constitutional role and quit trying to be so dictatorial like the two-party system has been.
So, I mean, who do you think is responsible for all of that, then, in terms of, I guess, the seizure of power from the executive branch?
Well, you know, a lot of that, particularly in my, you know, since 9/11, a lot of that has been the result of Congress, just kind of, you know, in the wake of 9/11, we passed a whole bunch of national security proposals, a whole bunch of power was given to the executive to control things like privacy, and I think that was the real last jump towards giving tons of federal power. And then, of course, in the wake of COVID, we saw that federal power being flexed in the wake of lockdowns and mandates and other things. And this is the kind of centralized power we need to avoid. But really, it's the responsibility of both Republicans and Democrats in Congress who have just failed to be any kind of true check or balance to the executive branch. And, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when there's nothing holding it back or checking it, it very easily grows to an unsustainable or a very abusive size. And that's what we've been seeing. So, you know, I would say let's get Congress back to holding the president's feet to the fire. No matter who that president is, no matter what party they are, we need our Congress to actually be a real check and balance. And until then, we're going to continue to see executive overreach and abuse.
So, I do believe the last time you were on, I asked you about the age, I guess, problem that is currently, I guess, in American politics, and you had said, I mean, this is the oldest primary ever. What do you think about how Biden performed at the State of the Union? I think, I mean, overall, he spoke fluently.
Yeah, you know, well, I can say I disagree with tons of his policy proposals and things like that. I'll be honest, he was probably the most clear-headed I've seen him in a long time. Maybe he got a nap in before the State of the Union, or, you know, got a nice B-12 shot or something, but he seemed a little bit more alert than he has been, particularly in front of the microphones lately. So, you know, maybe it was just a really good day for him. But here's the thing. When you were talking about whether a president of the United States is having a good day or a bad day cognitively, that is a sign that we have a president that is too old. That's a sign that we have a president that is not in their prime, not really functioning at the top of their game. And so, yes, Biden had a good night last night. He went out and gave him, you know, a good one-hour speech, and that's good for him. But the fact that we had to worry about whether he was going to be on or off at all is a sign of worry. And I frankly feel the same worry about Donald Trump, who, if you see him on the campaign trail, you know, he is definitely having just as many gaffes and just as many mistakes, you know, confusing Nikki Haley and Nancy Pelosi and then just a whole bunch of other what I call verbal diarrhea out of Donald Trump is really making me not exactly thinking that he's going to be cognitively sharp either if he were to win re-election at near 80 years old. I do think it's time for a new generation of American leadership, and that includes from every party. I think younger Democrats need to rise up and take their party back. I think younger Republicans need to. But I ultimately think voters need to ask for a new generational voice, and I'm under 40. I'm ready to be that voice if the Libertarian Party nominates me.
So another thing that they brought up at the State of the Union was that they wanted to increase taxes on the rich and businesses and lower taxes on the middle and working class.
Yeah, well, a little open-ended there, but let me just say this. First off, you can never tax the rich towards paying down the debt and deficit. You know, if we taxed every billionaire and we took every single bit of wealth they had, we wouldn't even fund this government for a month. It is just too large. The only way to balance our budget and get rid of these deficits and debts and being realistic about it is we have to cut large swaths of government that's you know, ineffective, abusive, intrusive, unconstitutional. There's a lot of fat to cut out of the government. We will not tax the rich to prosperity. And about taxing corporations, corporations do not pay taxes. The people who buy things from corporations pay those taxes because they pass that cost along to you. If you want to make every product more expensive, tax corporations more because they will pass that cost along to you, the consumer, at the end. So no, corporations don't pay taxes. And when we raise the corporate tax rate, it just creates a barrier to entry for new businesses to actually rise up and compete with the vested corporate interests who have already bought and paid for our Congress. So this kind of rhetoric, really we need to get the government out of the business of doing business. We need to get the government out of picking winners and losers when it comes to businesses. And we need to lower the tax rate overall for not just individuals, but also for businesses, so we're not paying that passed along cost at the end user rate when we buy our stuff off the shelves at the store, because that's what's happening.
What do you think about the shots at the Supreme Court that he took there in the speech?
I'll be honest, I was in a sports bar. It was quite loud. I didn't exactly, what shot did he take at the Supreme Court?
He was referring to Roe v. Wade, and he had said that they had got Roe v. Wade overturned, but it was kind of like I'm paraphrasing, but it was kind of like a failure of sorts because it ended up being legalized in a lot of the states that it was kicked back to.
Yeah, and it became a wake-up call, right?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You know, I can't speak to the court, but what I can say is, you know, I think Republicans who have been waiting and waiting and waiting for years for Roe v. Wade to overturn, now that they've seen it happen, they are seeing it really backfire politically because women in this country do want to have that choice. We are a pro-choice country for the most part in terms of the numbers of people out there. That does not mean that we can't respect the ethics and the lives of pro-life people. I absolutely do. But I also believe that this is a choice government shouldn't be making. It falls down to bodily autonomy. And it's one of the few areas where I actually, like, agree I'm pro-choice. And so I think if we had that, it would be, you know, ultimately a better situation. Though, unlike Joe Biden, he used to support the Hyde Amendment, which would forbid federal money from going to fund abortion. I still support the Hyde Amendment. I think that it is wrong to take money out of, particularly with this contentious issue, to take money out of taxpayers' pockets and put it towards abortion, especially if that taxpayer doesn't believe in abortion. And ultimately, I think we can have a world where we have less abortions if we focus on things like streamlining adoption, making a contraception over-the-counter, the pill over-the-counter. There's lots of things we could do to lessen the number of abortions without outright banning it and harming women's bodily autonomy in the process.
During the State of the Union address, Biden promised to ban assault weapons and a few other things like accessories to assault weapons. What do you make of that?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, I'm a 2A maximalist. I don't believe in restrictions on guns, and that includes assault rifles. And to me, this idea that an assault weapons ban is going to stop gun violence is ridiculous on its face, because less than 3% of gun deaths happen as a result of a rifle. Nearly all gun deaths happen as a result of handguns, you know, pistols and revolvers. And you're not going to outlaw those. We've already seen the Supreme Court absolutely defend handgun rights in the Heller decision. And so, you know, you're never going to get rid of the guns in this country. We need to look at the other factors that have created gun violence. We've always had guns in this country. You know, I love to tell a story. My mom went to a school that had a shooting club. You know, kids would come with bagged rifles to school. There could be a dozen rifles on campus, and yet no one ever got shot back then. It's because there was a difference in, you know, the dehumanization, the empathy, the mental health crisis that we face in this country that we just didn't have back in those days. And those are the real X factors. We've always had guns, but we haven't always had this kind of the mass shootings and things like this. I think that what we need to look to is really what's changed, not the consistency of guns that have been around in this country for a long time.
So during the State of the Union, President Biden said that quoted, I'm told my predecessor called members in the Senate to demand they block the bill, referring to the border bill. Now, is that, I guess, I can't think of a, is that, I guess, I can't think of the word.
Well, he's playing politics. Both Trump is playing politics here and so is Joe Biden. And I think it's time we stop playing politics with the border policy. You know, I think we actually need to have an Ellis Island-style immigration system to address this inflow of people in a way that's responsible, that allows us to process people who are peacefully wanting to work, weed out those who aren't. I think this is a much better process than just this failure of status quo that we've had on our border for decades now. And, you know, I've been to the border recently. I've seen the plight of these people who are having to rely on city services and social assistance from churches and charities because they don't have documentation to work. And I've talked to business owners who desperately would love to hire some of these people, but they can't. And I think we need to reform this process to completely streamline it. You should be able to come right through a port of entry, do a quick background check. If you're not wanted for a crime or anything of that nature, you should be able to come right into the United States with documentation to be able to work and get to work. We have jobs that need to be filled. We have people that want to fill them. And let's not forget that immigrants are a net plus to this country. You know, 55% of small businesses in this country are started by immigrants or the children of immigrants. And that's because people come here looking for opportunity and the ability to make something better for themselves. And it's that kind of entrepreneurial spirit that we actually want to encourage by asking immigrants to come here, work, put down roots, and start their American dream, and grow the American pie, grow our prosperity across the board. That's what happens when we embrace a realistic immigration system and quit trying to demonize and use scare tactics to scare people about the border. And that's what we saw from Donald Trump for 4 years. And frankly, it's kind of what we're seeing from Joe Biden. And I think it's wrong.
Do you think if elected, Donald Trump would be a dictator?
Yes, like I said, I think anybody from the two-party system at some point is going to be one way or another dictatorial, but I think Donald Trump has definitely signaled that he will flex as much power as he can unitarily to control the government, control policy, and to control basically the process as much as possible. I absolutely believe he would be. But again, I think anybody from the two-party system in one way or another is being dictatorial towards the American public, and that's why I run outside of the two-party system, and that's why I encourage people to reject the two-party system and fight for something better, because you're going to be controlled by either the left wing or the right wing of this authoritarian bird. I say it's time for a new path, but yes, Donald Trump would absolutely be a dictator. He's already told us he would be.
So during the State of the Union, Joe Biden mentioned the January 6th incident and false election fraud brought up on by Donald Trump. Do you think that is relevant, seeing as the courts already ruled that he should be allowed to run and that they can't take him off the ballots?
Well, I think what Joe Biden was doing there was, he's failing. He is looking to the past and trying to use that as a means to scare people into continuing to support him instead of really providing more vision for the future there. And I think he is trying to draw this contrast. And, I'm not a fan of January 6th. I think it was, as opposed to some people who call it a guided tour, you know, I don't think millions of people just watch a guided tour on their television all day. It was obviously something historical. It was something that was, not normal, obviously. It was not a guided rope tour, obviously. But I also think, at this point, we need to be looking forward, and Joe Biden needs to be providing reasons for people to vote for him, not just reasons for people to vote against Joe Biden if he wants, or Donald Trump, if he wants to be successful. I hate to be giving him advice there, but that's probably the more practical thing to have done there. But for me, I'm ready to look forward and embrace the fact that we do need to tear down a two-party system. That doesn't mean storming the Capitol, but it does mean recognizing the fact that our government's kind of bought and paid for by giant corporate interests in both parties, and it's high time that the people metaphorically rise up and demand real change. And you don't do that by storming the Capitol. You do that by going to the ballot box and voting outside of the two-party system and rejecting duopoly.
Do you think that, would you say that January 6th was an insurrection?
an attempted one, possibly. You know, there were people there who were planning on doing that. Do I think everyone in that room was planning on overthrowing the government? No. I think there were a lot of stupid people there as well, but who were just, you know, criminally trespassing and generally trying to be a nuisance or whatever. But yeah, I do believe there were some people there who literally walked in with the idea of, we're going to stop this count and we're going to somehow make Donald Trump president again. Was it a successful thing? Absolutely not. And honestly, I think if anybody looks at January 6th and think that was anywhere near successful, they were completely wrong. And I think it was a major failure on the part of those people who were trying to do that. But again, I don't think everybody who was there with the intention of doing that. I think there were a lot of people who were there just to protest, and they think their election was stolen, which I don't believe it was. You know, I believe Joe Biden won the election in 2020, and I think a lot of those people were sore losers. It makes me laugh that the Republicans out there, they mock the girl who was, like, screaming when Trump was taking office, like the screaming liberal meme, but they made themselves into, like, thousands and thousands of irresponsibly screaming conservative memes when they couldn't handle the fact that Joe Biden beat their messiah, Donald Trump. And frankly, it's embarrassing. Like, I think if you were there on January 6th, it's kind of embarrassing that you were even there, because it just was a terrible look.
Do you think your voters tend to be more Democratic voters or Republican voters?
You know, I think my voters, and Libertarian voters in general come from the largest pool of voters out there, which is independents, and that's actually a growing number. You know, 52% of Americans now identify as politically independent. Now, in my election in the Senate, there was a little exit polling done, and most people who voted for me said they would have just stayed at home and not voted for anybody if I had not been on the ballot. And then we took slightly more Republican votes than Democratic votes of people who said they would have had a second choice. And I think that spoke to the candidate quality in Herschel Walker, the fact that there were a lot of, you know, people who just, they might have been Republican voters who were just like, oh, I don't like Herschel. And then, you know, I think overall the Libertarian Party has traditionally been known as a right-wing or right-of-center party, but I really think we pull voters from everywhere. Like, I was a Democrat who became a Libertarian because we were anti-war. I think there's a lot of people just like that out there who have one or two Libertarian issues that if they got introduced to the full philosophy, whether they're from the left or the right, they would become Libertarians who support anti-authority. And it's not about left versus right. It's about liberty versus authority, really, at the end of the day for me.
Last question here. Did you have a favorite quote from the other night?
Oh, a favorite quote from the State of the Union. You know, whatever it was that signified it was over. No, really what I will say is my favorite quote, because it was total BS, is when Joe Biden said, listen, I'm a capitalist. I don't think we've had any full-throated capitalists in the White House for a very long time. I think it's time we do have one. I am one. Last night it was just a lot of lip service and more of the same. I will say my favorite moment walking in, it did make me laugh quite a bit, is the reaction Joe Biden had to Marjorie Taylor Greene as he was walking through the hall. I've watched that little video clip about 15 times. It does make me laugh because it looks like a grandpa who's like seeing his grandkid in a Halloween costume. He's like, oh, look at you. And it's quite hilarious.
Alright, do you have any last words before we wrap it up here?
Hey, my last words are, if you want an alternative to the mess that you saw last night in Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and you want to see something that's better, I recommend you, A, join the Libertarian Party by going to lp.org, check out our platform, but also check out the campaign for president at votechaseoliver.com. We want to be the alternative to Donald Trump and Joe Biden on all your ballots nationwide, so you don't have to select from two old, broken men. You can have a young, new voice for liberty in your election. And I hope you get out there and support us.
2024 presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, Chase Oliver. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And there you have it. Matt Morgan interviewing Chase Oliver, Libertarian candidate for president, and his thoughts on the State of the Union. Now, I'm sure Pastor Craig, who walked in, we'll talk more about that during the noon hour. We'll bring that up at 12:15. A lot of stuff to talk about with that little bit of business, but we'll get to that when we come to the noon hour. All right, Jessica Hauser still joins us here in studio, and do want to remind everybody, the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast is tomorrow. Pastor Craig's going to be giving away some if he wants to give away some tickets, he can give away some tickets during his show next hour, as long as you pick those up before 2 o'clock this afternoon. And Matt and Carrington and I will be celebrity servers tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the breakfast, and we will be on stage from 1 to 2. Mary Ellen will be the celebrity greeter from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and she'll be on stage with us from 1 to 2 as well. As I said, ticket giveaway for Kiwanis will continue probably through 1 o'clock this afternoon. We thank the Marion Star for the article they did. Abby is headed off to the Schottenstein Center to cover the news for us from the wrestling tournament. You'll get that report tonight and on Monday morning on Friday Night Live. There's all the plugs. We got them out of the way. Now, back here in the studio, and apparently a call coming in here. All right, go ahead, caller.
Good morning from Idaho, Scott.
Good morning. What time is it in Idaho?
It is 7:40 in the morning.
7:40. So what is on your mind at 7:40 in the morning in Idaho at this point?
Not too much, admittedly. I just recently woke up. But, so as you know, I've been a listener of WGH for quite some time now. And in addition to you, Matt, Carrington, Mary Ellen, I've met quite a few amazing people as a result of being a listener of this station. And I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Adam the Computer Guy. So I've had this issue with my computer that I've been fighting now for nearly 2 years, and it has left local computer stores here in Idaho completely stumped with no solution other than, you know, throwing parts at it and hoping it works. So I got to talking with Adam, and all the way from Marion, Ohio, remotely across the country, he logs into my system and has the problem solved in a matter of maybe 45 minutes of digging around.
Well, we're so glad to hear that. I'm glad he got it all worked out for you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, and I'm sure Adam will appreciate the plug and stick with us here this morning. Thanks.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. This show's all about plugs today. Plug, 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 plug. That's all we got going on here. All right. We've got two current events here we still want to cover with before Jessica gets on out of here today. And Matt will be here at noon. But they're interesting. Let's start with this one. I think this is a more important one. Anne Hathaway, actress, very famous actress, was recently in a movie trailer that was dropped. Now, the name of the movie is The Idea of You, but in the movie, she portrays a mom in her 40s who dates a famous musician in his 20s. And when this trailer came out, it made people very angry. It made some very angry, it made some very happy, but basically they called her a cougar, they said it's disgusting, a 40-year-old dating a 20-year-old. Some people said it was okay and good for her, but in general, the backlash was bad against poor Anne Hathaway. So, what do you make of that? A 40-year-old dating a 20-year-old problem? And it's not real, by the way, it is a movie, but I guess the whole thought of it is bad.
I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily bad, but it's just kind of strange. Like that'd be like me dating my mom.
No, it's not like you dating your mom.
Yeah.
See, you don't date the family member. You draw the line.
But my mom is 42.
I understand the age might be similar, but it's different than dating your mom.
You see,
not always.
It'd be more like dating your mom's friend.
Your mom's friend.
Well, same concept. I don't like it. It's fine.
No,
there's nothing wrong with it, but I mean, I wouldn't like go bashing anybody for it. It's just, I think you can.
Apparently, you don't agree with it.
I think you can make some better choices.
Okay. Well, Jessica,
what would be the cougar age like gap difference? I don't know.
See, that's what I was trying to that's what I was trying to figure out. Is
I was
what
like maybe 30
is
years?
It, is maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. 20 years to me does not seem like a huge deal.
A 41-year-old woman doesn't seem like that would be a cougar at all yet.
No, and I'm not even, I mean, what?
That puts me in a cougar age, and I don't know if that would be a cougar age.
Now here we go, from a 40-something person. Would you date somebody in their 20s?
No, probably not.
No, just based on their age.
Yeah, just I get it. Just based on
See, but
on
that's
age.
Strange because to me, because see, what I said this morning, Abby and I talked about this a little bit because she's up there in age too. I said that I don't in normal life, I don't know what your age is. Now, I can probably guess within 10 years, depending on the Botox. But the point
I know,
is...
We need Carrington here.
Yeah, Carrington. I can guess, but that's not my first thought when I run into you is how old are you? My first, do we get along? Can we talk? Is it fun to be around you? And once you're over 18, what difference does it make whether you are 22 or 42? I don't quite understand that. What's the problem here?
Yeah, I don't think there's like a huge, I mean, there is. There's a lot of life that happens in between 20s and 40s. However, I just don't like to think of the fact that, you know, a 40-year-old could be a cougar yet.
No, but isn't that's interesting, though, that could be a, yes, if there's a disconnect because you can't talk about the same things or aren't at the same place in your life, I think you would realize that in the conversation. But apparently, these are two people who do like each other and are getting along. So what is the age problem here? Who cares?
Right. And Anne Hathaway looks really good in that movie. She looks like she's
now, is that part
20s.
Of it? Is that you have to...
Physical appearance?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. If you're an older lady like
you're
Anne Hathaway. And apparently you're an older lady now. Anne Hathaway's an older lady. No, is that right? I mean, do you have to look young? Is that the idea? What if the younger person doesn't look young?
Yeah, well, she looks young. They look about the same age.
Well, right. I mean, she's a movie star. I'm sure she's had some work done.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, does age matter? I guess is the whole whoop-de-doo here.
No. It does to other people, apparently.
Apparently it does. But you know what? We're very superficial about a lot of things in relationships.
Maybe it's just jealousy. Not disgustedness, but more like jealousy.
Well, I don't know. Disgusting is the word they used. I mean, that's a heavy word. I mean, you can call her a cougar, but to say disgusting.
And I really like Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, I mean, Anne Hathaway's been in some very nice Disney movies. And
yes.
Yeah.
Now she's Miley Cyrus.
Now she's an old cougar, an old cougar. That's what she is. But Matt says, yes, it does matter. Just age. Age matters.
I mean, like I said, I don't know that I would be making this big of a deal of it. I'd probably just, it's not my life, not my thing. I don't know. But, like, overall, no. But, I guess for me, yes. But I wouldn't like go beating anybody over the head for doing it. So
no, but it's. I mean, even as friends. I mean, I guess this whole idea is very strange to me.
Oh no, well, friends is. I mean, you can be friends with anybody. Well,
okay, so what's the big difference?
I think once you get into a relationship with that person, there's a little bit of a different thing.
Yeah, but that has to, I mean, if we're talking about that, heaven forbid here.
No,
if
no,
we're
no,
talking
just,
about,
just like,
no, no, I mean, that is the big difference between relationship
and
friendship.
Together and things like that.
Living together, that's what, you can't live with your friends, like roomies? Can't live with a 20-year-old?
I do believe it's recommended that you don't live with your friends because you end up hating each other.
Well, that's a whole different thing, but we're talking about age here. We're not talking about relationship. We're talking about just simply based on age, you should not live with that person.
I mean, no. I mean, it's just like you guys are at different stages. I mean, like, when you're 40 years old, like, you like, at that point, I would hope have at least, like, a pretty stable, like, you have a pretty stable career.
Okay.
You've been doing something for a minute. When you're 20 years old, you've been out of high school for 2 years.
Okay.
You don't even know what you're doing with yourself yet.
Well, you might not know what you're doing with yourself.
I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Yeah. No, you think because age all of a sudden gives you some great perspective on you know everything all of a sudden? No.
I mean, I would hope that at 40 years old you've got something figured out, like some kind of goal.
But I'm confused on how that relates to living together. You can't live with people who are dumb?
You're just working towards two opposite things.
What? What's the young person working against that the old person's not working for? I think you're all just working to be happy and make money and live your life and do your thing.
I think that when you're 40 years old, the majority of people are already set in a career and they've already got the finances set up. I mean, if you're 40 years old, you've probably been living by yourself for a decent bit of that point.
I'm confused on what these traits have to do with being around a 20-year-old.
I just don't know that you guys would have much to discuss.
And that's if that's it, that's fine.
They're doing something completely different than you are. They like things that are completely different than you like. Unless they're like little living,
I don't
like
think
20
that's
years
true.
Behind.
That's not true. Oh, Jess, come on in.
Oh, I don't think they would run out of things to talk about.
No, I mean, what are we living in, different planets? I mean, we watch the same movies. Chances are you live in the same town. You go to the same restaurants. You see the same things in the news. You all have internet. I mean, what is so different?
I mean, you don't listen to the same music. You
Maybe
probably
you do.
Don't watch
Maybe
the same
you
kinds
do.
Of movies.
Maybe you do.
Things that are popular now were not necessarily popular back
but
in the day.
I think you're
and
missing
vice
the,
versa.
I think you're missing the point on this one. We're not taking two people and saying, be together. We're saying you already like each other. So you're past that point where you've discussed movies and whatever. We're saying, is age the deal breaker? You are already getting along. You want to be together. In this movie, they want to be together. It's the people on the outside going, no, 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 no. You can't do that because of your age.
Well, I mean, I would never tell somebody that they shouldn't date a 20-year-old if they're 40. I mean, it's not my place, but like I said, in my case, I wouldn't date a 40-year-old because that's like...
Simply based on age. Same movie, same interests, same ideas, like to be around them.
They could have graduated with my mom. Yes, that's
weird. Oh, back to your mother again. Lord have mercy. Okay.
Awkward.
I know, awkward. If you think of every 40-year-old as your mother, there's a whole problem there. I mean,
it's the whole generation of people who could have gone to school with my mom.
Yeah, but do you look at all 40-year-old women as your mother?
Uh-oh.
I mean, no, but...
Watch out, Mom!
But, like, I mean, I look at all people who are in my mom's range and say, they could have went to high school
with
my mom.
Okay, let me just put this in. I hate to get this bleak about, or this... Now, it's not bleak. I mean, this specific. Clearly, you don't look at your mother and go, oh, you're a nice-looking woman. You've never seen a woman in her 40s and said, oh, nice-looking.
I mean, probably.
Okay, you don't think about your mother in those terms, do you?
I know.
That's the herein lies the difference.
I don't know. It's just strange.
So if you get like to your 60s, then it's grandma, right? You're dating your grandma then.
I'm sure, like, if it's not a common theme, like, to just be like a perpetual cougar, that it would feel odd to those in the couple too.
But see, cougar to me, that designation means that you're looking for younger guys.
Yes, I feel that way.
But is that, too. I don't know that that's what's happening here.
No.
I think it just happens.
I think it happened.
But if
according to the trailer.
Hey, you know what? Listen, I don't understand this. I have never understood age. I didn't understand age when I was in my 20s. I don't understand age now that I'm in my early 30s. I don't understand age, period. I really don't. I mean, if you like the person and it's not illegal and you get along, what's the problem?
Right. Still, though, cougar. Ooh, I
you don't like the term.
What would be the... Oh, well, I'm still trying to put the age to it. Maybe 30 years.
So what's the youngest person you would date? Being in your early 40s, what's the youngest person you would date?
Well, that's hard to say because it would be a... You know, again, and that would be if you liked the person. So
you
say,
like them. You get along. You're friendly. They're good to your child. But what's the age deal breaker? Simply on age.
28. 28? 28.
Why 28? 15? 15-year span? About a 15-year span?
No, I feel 28, you are a little bit closer to, you know... I don't know. I feel like 28, you can start making some bigger decisions.
I don't know. I think if you're having a good time,
but
what's
again,
the problem?
I don't think you can merge assets again, right, until you're 30. So
Right.
You know,
but you're saying...
Hovering around 28 and 30.
But you're sticking to no, just simply on age. Even if you like them, even if it's good, no.
Well, I mean, I mean, 28's a fair age, I would say.
I don't think that's that bad.
I mean, when you get closer to, 30, you've got things kind of...
Where's your cutoff point? I'm confused now.
I
don't know the exact place this guy is in his 20s, but when this was originally thought up, you said no dice, but now you're saying 28's okay, that's in your 20s, maybe he's 28.
I mean, yeah, but that's 8 years older than I am, but I'd go 30.
30.
Yeah.
So 10 year, but what if the person's 49? That's 19 years.
Still similar stuff.
Yeah. What's the difference?
I mean, 39.
Maybe menopause. Menopause, then you can
Hey,
cougar.
Some ladies hold on for a long time with the menopause. They're long into their 50s at this point.
10 years is a big difference. So there's a big difference between 10 years and 19 years. There's 9 years
yeah,
but is a
some
pretty
people,
hefty gap.
Some people won't tell you their age. They'll say, I'm in my 30s, they're in their 40s. Well, that could be 19 years, but you don't really know.
Well, if you're talking to somebody like that anyways, they sound like the kind of person who are gonna want you to message them constantly because they're too insecure
if
to even give you their
leave.
Age. So.
If you don't like the person, leave. But you know what? I don't see where age is an issue. I don't know why we're so judgy on that. I don't get it. You know, when I was at the Bratwurst Festival, I saw a lot of old guys walking around with a lot of young girls. We don't say much about that.
I think it's strange.
Yeah, but I'm talking about old guys. I'm not talking about 20. I'm talking about 30, 40-year gaps here. Maybe bigger than that.
What if she's a good cook?
I do like food.
I have no intention to get married, but at some point I'm going to need a nurse. You know, I'd like to have a nurse around at some point. Somebody's got to pull the plug, and, you know, maybe if you start to have some kind of episode at home, it's good to have a nurse there on call to help you along.
yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, when you, like 70-year-olds, for example, there are a lot of 70-year-olds who their partner dies, or sometimes it is a divorce at that particular age. They get together again. Now, I'm sure that is not a relationship based on looks at that point. It's just companionship. So what difference does it make what age you are? I'm not saying that if you're 70, you can't still be doing all kinds of things. I'm just saying, though, I don't think at that point you're saying, wow, they look great. Maybe they do.
I mean, I think what's the point? I mean, I think once you hit the point of 70, I think you've had kids. I think
you're certainly not having kids anymore.
I think you're pretty far along in life at that point. And like, as much as I hate to say it, people don't go visit like their grandparents or like elderly people as much as they should. Because I mean, people are busy. It makes sense. But like, I think I'd kind of get home, just get bored just chilling at home, too, which is why a lot of old people do get married.
Some do, some don't. I know a lot of women, because women tend to outlive men. I mean, it's not always the case, but it typically is the case. And I've known a lot of women who, when they've been married, you know, you think they love that husband 50, 60 years, and then the husband goes, and you go to grandma, and you say, Grandma, you know, you're kind of bored here. You know, what about another guy? And I don't want to take care of another old man. They're not in love anymore at that point. I've heard that a lot from people. Because at the end of some people's life, they need a lot of care. And you're also their age range, and that's tiring for you at that point. You don't want to do that again.
I think it's a little bit selfish for you to say, hey, I need you to take care of me when you guys are in the same age range. You guys should probably just be working on taking care of either yourselves.
I'll just go to the home. You stay home. I'll go to a home. You stay home. No, there's a pact in there. Till death do you part. But then there's the opposite side where one goes and the other goes very soon. And that probably is something different. It goes both ways in an odd way. So, you know, it is what it is.
Anne Hathaway, a cougar.
I'm still stuck on that.
I am having such a hard time with this.
Because she is a cougar.
And she's beautiful.
But if a 60-year-old would go after her, now what's that? Same age difference.
It is.
Yeah, but is that as big a problem?
But it'd be a man, right?
A man, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that as big a problem?
No.
I don't think
really, so 60 and 40 are not a big problem, but 40 and 20 are a big problem.
I think so.
I think that 40 and 60.
What's the difference?
I think that 40 and 60, you're still more on the same wavelength.
Not really.
Than somebody who's still basically a child.
No, you've got a 40-year-old and somebody who's on AARP and gets there for the early buffets, I think, at that point. Some people are retired at 65. You're certainly not retired at 40 whatever.
Yeah, but you're certainly not just starting out wherever you're working at either.
What? So that's the idea? Somebody working at McDonald's can't date somebody who's in a career?
Maybe it's kind of an empty nest syndrome.
Could be.
Between 40 and 20. Your kids are grown up. It's a way of moving a kid back in.
I don't understand. But we're going to roll into this very quickly here. Final topic with just a couple minutes left to go. Gossip. A new study is out that says there is an upside to gossip, that it helps people collaborate and helps provide useful information. Is gossip a good thing?
It can be.
Do you like to gossip?
No.
Well, nobody says they do, but we all do it.
We do.
Yeah. Nobody's going to say, oh, yes, you know, that's what I like to do. I think gossip's a thing. I mean, it just, you can't stop it when somebody's giving it to you. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, this is Linda.
Linda, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I knew you were trying to get a hold of me, and I cannot get into my messenger.
I'll give you a buzz back in a few minutes, Linda, okay?
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So there's our very own Linda Sims, our Turn Up the Heat champion from last Saturday night, so we're very happy with Linda. But, so gossip, a bad thing. Good thing or bad thing?
Well, I mean, I think the term gossip is like a negative connotation.
You know where the term gossip came from?
No.
Well, here's a little thing. Back in the old days, the kings and queens and aristocracy in England used to want to know what people were saying about them, because you couldn't say anything negative about them in public. But when people went to bars, pubs in those days, they would get drunk and they would get a little more loose-lipped. So they used to have people that they would hire to go sit in bars to listen to what people had to say about them, so they could know what people were really saying. And instead of just saying, go to the bars and listen, they would say, go sip your beer. And that became gossip over the years. I know. Nice. You learn so much from this program.
Good job.
It's a real educational piece this morning. So
there's a Scott Spears Day.
Scott Spears Day and a ghost. I can tell you all about gossip.
Newspapers
it's really time to go for me, don't you think? It's really, today may be my last show at the end.
Or Marian Icon.
Marian Icon. Leave it the height. I have to say that I do think there's an upside to gossip. I don't think you should trash somebody, and I don't think you should bury somebody, and I don't think you should say particularly evil things about somebody. But if it's like, oh, did you hear that blah, blah, blah got a new car, or did you hear that blah, blah, blah is dating so-and-so, that's 20-year-old boyfriend. Did you hear that Anne Hathaway's in a movie with a 20-year-old guy and she's a cougar? This is really not hurtful stuff. I mean, you know, I don't think you should try to hurt people with your gossip, but frivolous gossip, everybody does it. You can say you don't, but you do, even if you don't even mean to do it. Somebody will leave the room and you'll say, hey, did you see what happened there? I mean, you'll do it with your eyes sometimes.
Did you see how many clothes they had?
Yeah,
on?
Yeah. Did you, oh my God, did you see that smell when they were in here? You know, it's all gossip.
I hear my neighbor walks around naked in front of her kids.
Exactly right. Is that okay? What do you think about that? And one's 40 and the wife's 40 and the husband's 20. There you go. The whole thing. What'd you learn during these programs this morning, Matt?
Oh, you know, we talked about a lot.
We're going to talk about more at noon. We're really going to get this thing off the ground.
I liked your interview, though.
It was a nice interview with Chase Oliver.
I like that guy.
And we're going to talk about that at noon, for sure. Guess what you learned today?
That they still print newspapers.
That they still print newspapers.
I didn't realize this was an unknown thing.
I really did not know that they still print newspapers.
And you picked it up during the interview there. Did it feel odd to you?
It really did.
You did date a 20-year-old?
It smelled good, too. I was like,
you smelled the newspaper?
I remember the smell of newspapers.
Oh, Lord, she smelled the newspaper.
Hit with some flashbacks.
Did you read anything in the newspaper? Did you look at any of the articles?
I just looked at your picture.
Oh, what'd you think? Good picture?
This is a good picture.
Good picture. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, you were Pleasant, weren't you?
I was. My son probably watched that if he...
Oh, yeah. What,
if
middle or high school?
Was in there.
No, elementary wasn't. I think it was middle and high school, I think.
That was probably a good
decision
on the schools we have.
But they filled it. 750. They were good. It was a good school. I give a lot of credit to Pleasant. And what nice schools they have out there now.
Yeah, they're getting there.
It's very, very nice.
They're getting there.
2 hours flies by, doesn't it?
Sure does.
I'm so glad you were here, and Jess will be back with us next week, and Matt and I will be with Pastor Craig at noon, and Pastor Craig is going to start giving away these Kiwanis tickets and also tell you what's going on in Marion. Guess I heard the Kiwanis pancake breakfast going on tomorrow.
I've heard that.
You've heard that. Stay tuned for Pastor Craig right after this.
Next question.
Okie doke. We will go right along. We won't even stop. The tires are squealing away from that one. Is Dr. Ruth in a happy relationship?
Good question. What is your next question, Scott? About my personal...